But he that shall persevere to the end, he shall be saved. Words taken from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to depart from today's Gospel and Epistle to speak to you about a great saint. He is one of the great saints of the Jesuit order, whose feast, however, is not on the church's universal calendar. He is St. Andrew Bobola, and his feast was observed publicly by the Jesuit order and parts of Lithuania and Poland each year on May 16th. St. Andrew Bobola was born near the city of Krakow in Poland in the year 1591. In the year 1611, at the age of 20, he entered the Jesuit novitiate house in Vilna, Lithuania. In 1624, he was ordained a priest. Now, he began his apostolate in Lithuania as a preacher in the Church of St. Casimir in the city of Vilna. Now, you have to understand that Lithuania was a very divided country religiously. It was made up of Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox schismatics, mostly from the Russian Orthodox Church, and various Protestant sects. And Andrew Bobola preached a return to Christ. He preached a united Christendom in the Roman Catholic Church, the one true church, and under the Roman pontiff. Now, a year later, he was taken out of his parish, and he was assigned to do missionary work. His new duties as a missionary involved extensive travel throughout Lithuania and eastern Poland. He would offer mass, he would preach, he would hear confessions, he would have convert instructions. He would administer the sacraments in villages that did not have a priest of their own. In fact, what he did is very similar to what our priests do today. But by the grace of God, by his holiness of life, by his eloquent preaching, Father Andrew Bobola converted thousands upon thousands of schismatics and Protestants back to the church. So great was the number of his converts that he was called the robber of souls. And he was called the robber of souls because he robbed souls not only from the Russian Orthodox Church and other false churches, but he robbed them from the devil and for heaven. But you know, my dear friends, there's always a price to pay. There's always a cost for such things. The work for the salvation of souls is not without danger. The Cossacks, who were Russian Orthodox schismatics, who lived in southern Lithuania, these people were violently opposed to any kind of reunion with the Roman Catholic Church. The tremendous success of Father Andrew Bobola reached them and angered them very much. They were determined to find this priest and to kill him, but not without first teaching him, as it were, a lesson. It was May 11th, Ascension Thursday to be exact, in the year 1657, that 2,000 Cossacks appeared in the village. where Father Bobola and his Jesuit companion, Father Simon, were temporarily living. The two priests, however, were not there at that time. They had offered Mass there very early in the morning and had left to offer Mass and administer the sacraments to the faithful in as many villages as they could on that Ascension Thursday. Some of the Cossacks then left the village. They divided into various groups in pursuit of the priests. They scoured the countryside searching for them. No barn, as it were, was left unturned. Father Simon was captured in the parish church in the city of Horodek. The Cossacks immediately despoiled him of his garments. That is, they tore off his clothing. They dragged him into the church, and in the first pew of the church, they spread out his arms onto the seat, and they proceeded to nail him to the pew. One of them then took a bowstring, in imitation of the crown of thorns, he tightly wound it around the face and head of the priest. They then proceeded to scourge him. And after they scourged him, they poured boiling hot water all over his wounds. He died after one of them thrust a dagger into his throat. In the meantime, Father Bobola had gone to the village of Janow. Some faithful Catholics told him the Cossacks were coming. The saint attempted to escape in the back of a cart, hidden under a stack of hay. But in a sudden raid, he too was captured. The sufferings of Saint Andrew Bobola that he underwent at the hand of these so-called schismatic Christians has been called by some authors the most cruel agony of modern times. I dare say it is equal, if it does not surpass, the torments that were inflicted upon his fellow Jesuit priests, St. Isaac Jogues and St. John de Brebeuf, here in New York and in Canada. But remember, my dear friends, St. Isaac Jogues and St. John de Brebeuf, these great saints were tortured by uncouth, savage, and cruel Indians. St. Andrew Bobola was tortured by so-called baptized Christians of the Russian Orthodox Church. Like Father Simon, St. Andrew Bobola was despoiled of his garments too. You know why they tore off their garments? You know why they did this? They did it to humiliate them. For nothing is more shameful and humiliating. That was the first thing, humiliation. And then after they tore off his garments, they proceeded to whip him as hard as they could. The Cossacks then tightly twisted some small branches of oak around his head, as they could not find any thorns. And they wrapped these around his head so tight that they penetrated his very skull. Having decided to return to the village of Janow, they tied Father Bobola between two horses and proceeded to drag him across the road. In the midst of all their diabolical cruelty, this holy priest continually encouraged them to repent of their sins and to embrace the Catholic faith. When they reached Janow, one of the Cossacks was so irritated by the pleadings of the saint to convert that he drew out his saber and he proceeded to slash the priest. And as Father Bobola lay upon the ground, another soldier rushed forth, drew out a dagger, and pulled out his left eye. Another came forward and cut off his nose and lips. They then dragged him to the public square so that everybody could see. In those days, the public square was where everybody met. And by this time, the village of Janow was gathering around the spectacle of blood. And they wanted everyone to see what happens to those who cross them, who would dare try to bring people back into union with the Roman Catholic Church. They dragged him to the square. They began to mock his priesthood in front of all the people. They mocked his title, Robber of Souls. "Who are you going to rob now, Father?" they said to him. The saint's only response to their mockery and to their jeering and to their tortures was a prayer of forgiveness. And another plea that they repent of their sins. And again, annoyed with him, a soldier rushed forth with a mallet-like object and proceeded to knock out his teeth. In ridicule, the rite of tonsure. Tonsure is that sacred rite that the bishop cuts the hair in five places upon the head of a future priest. In ridicule of the tonsure, they scalped him. And because his hands had been consecrated with holy oil and had held the body of Christ, they tore the nails and flesh off of them. And then they took their daggers and they began to carve into his bare back an outline of a chasuble. Chasuble is this vestment that the priest wears, and it is notorious among priests of the Roman Rite who wear the chasuble. And they proceeded to carve a chasuble, as it were, into his bare back. And at each fearful torment, the saint only prayed the holy names of Jesus and Mary. One of the soldiers, tiring of him, he finally took his knife and cut out his tongue. And at length, another soldier, tired of the whole spectacle, took his sword and thrust it into the heart of St. Andrew Bobola. And as one author wrote, Father Bobola, vested in the chasuble of his blood, offered his last sacrifice. This was on May 16th in the year 1657. He was canonized by Pope Pius XI in the year 1938. And he truly is one of the greatest martyrs in the history of the Church. My dear friends, in the midst of indescribable torment, this priest, Father Andrew Bobola, now Saint Andrew Bobola, persevered in his profession of the Catholic faith and in forgiving those who tortured him. One may ask, how was he able to do this? How was he able to suffer so patiently, such cruelty and most painful torture, and at the same time have nothing but a heart full of forgiveness and love for those who did it? And the answer, my dear friends, is because he believed in Christ. He trusted Christ. And he had such a love for our Lord Jesus Christ. His whole heart, soul belonged to Christ. And not to this world. And like our Lord Jesus Christ, who was so patient in the midst of the most cruel and painful torture, even as Christ forgave those who did those things to him, so would Father Andrew Bobola. He would persevere until the end. He would be confident that in the end, he, St. Andrew Bobola, would have everlasting life. And thus, no matter how severe the trials, no matter how difficult the hardships of his life, or the humiliation, the pain, and torment of his martyrdom, he persevered in faith, hope, and charity in Christ till the very end. And so, my dear friends, it must be with us too. You know that we are living in a very trying time. All of us, one way or another, have been affected by what is going on in our country. Some people got sick, some people died. God have mercy on their souls. But this sickness and death, unlike far more numerous causes of sickness and death in our nation, such as cancer and heart disease, has brought about unprecedented changes. Our society is characterized by such a fear and anxiety, such a fear that people are afraid to go out in public. People have barricaded themselves in their homes. If you're not wearing a mask in public, in the airport, in a public place, people are fearful of you and even angry with you. And if some people see a gathering perhaps of maybe more than 10 people, they call the police. For the last 2 months, such fear has been daily stirred up in our nation. Even as we have witnessed a persecution of the civil rights of American people, it's very bad. But you know, my dear friends, I want to put things back in their proper perspective. As bad as this may seem, what is still worse than the persecution of the civil rights of American people, of our civil rights? What is still worse is the persecution that the church and Catholic people have undergone in these last 60 years or so. This persecution waged upon the church by modernists, that is, those bishops, priests, theologians, people who've been wanting to change the Catholic religion for hundreds of years, before, during, and now after Vatican II, this is indeed the greatest persecution of the church in her 2,000-year history. And it's not even a bloody persecution. And yet, it's the most effective. Think about this. Whenever the church suffered a bloody persecution, Catholic people became stronger and more numerous. The blood of the martyrs, it was said in ancient times, is the seed of the church. Despite threats of torture and death, many men readily became priests to save as many souls as they could for Christ. Even as many others gave their lives to Christ in the religious life, many young men and women offering themselves as victims of love. And the overwhelming majority of Catholic people persevered in the Catholic faith. In the wake of Vatican II, and all these years following, these well-calculated changes to the Mass, to the sacramental rites, to the training and formation of priests, to the whole of Catholic life, there were no threats of bodily torture and death. And yet, within a few short years, the faith was destroyed in tens of millions of Catholic people, especially bishops and priests and religious. Just recently, we heard that over 70% of people in the new church in this nation do not believe in the real presence of Christ. These are so-called Catholic people, many of whom are weekly at their Sunday new mass. They do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. They are not Catholics. Not to mention that the few years following Vatican II, almost 50,000 priests left their vocations. And what is worse, perhaps today, is a clergy and episcopacy that is steeped in vice and impurity. While the bloodiest of persecutions did indeed cause some Catholics to lose their faith, it must be said that most Catholic people, religious and priests, like St. Andrew Bobola, readily suffered and died for their faith. What has happened in the church since Vatican II is worse than a bloody persecution. It is worse than a persecution of civil rights. It is worse than a bloody persecution against the Catholic faith. Because millions upon millions of people have lost both faith and morals, while only a handful, as it were, a handful persevered. The Cossacks used their daggers. The modernists used obedience and the reverence, the beautiful reverence of Catholic people for the church and her hierarchy, as well as intimidation and deception to impose their new religion and their new mass. We must never forget, my dear friends, why we are here at this chapel. Why we are doing this. We are practicing the one true faith delivered by Christ to the apostles, to the church, and to us. A faith which has been handed down for centuries. If this faith that we practice here today is not the one true and only faith of Christ, then the sufferings and death of St. Andrew Bobola and the millions of martyrs who went before him were in vain and even worthless. But this is not so. The Catholic faith is the one and only faith of Jesus Christ, outside of which there is no salvation. And by the grace and mercy of God, we have this faith. We have this most precious gift. We have the faith which St. Andrew Bobola and so many others had, and for which they were willing to suffer and die. The question we should ask ourselves today is, are we willing to suffer for our faith? And if God so wills, are we willing to die for our faith? Are we like St. Andrew Bobola and so many others who have gone before us? Are we willing to suffer patiently? Are we willing to suffer patiently the inconveniences of life, especially those that have been brought upon us in these last few months? Do we suffer these things patiently? Are we willing to do this? Are we willing to bear the small difficulties of our daily life, or even the greater hardships? Are we willing to bear some pain, some inconvenience, some sickness, something? And like St. Andrew Bobola, are we willing to do it for Christ? Do we believe like him? Do we trust like him? Do we love Christ like him? Are we striving to do this so that we will suffer and bear anything God allows to happen to us, confident that he only allows pain, he only allows suffering and hardship for a greater spiritual good? My dear friends, these are difficult days, but don't lose focus on what really matters. For no matter what happens, we have the faith. We have the means to save our souls and go to heaven. And that is the one and only thing that really matters. Let us then ever be grateful to God for our faith. And in our gratitude, let us persevere, even as parents pass on this precious gift of God to their children, teaching their children by word and example to treasure the faith above all things. No matter how severe the trials of life may be, or how great the inconvenience we must face each day, let us all, like St. Andrew Bobola, persevere. For as our divine Savior promised, he who perseveres to the end, he shall be saved. And he never makes an empty promise. May the most blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of the May, she who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, May she obtain for us the grace to love our faith, to live our faith, and to persevere in it no matter what. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.